Welcome to the Advisor Talk podcast channel. This is Nick Stewart, CEO and Authorised Financial Advisor at Stewart Group. If you're new to the show, Stewart Group is a CFEX certified financial planning and advisory firm serving clients throughout New Zealand with offices in Hawke's Bay and Wellington.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge. My pleasure to have on the phone from the Stewart Group and based in Wellington, Brent. How are you going, Brent?
I'm very well, Ken. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. All the better for talking with you. It's been some moons almost since we did speak.
Yeah, it's been a few moons, and there might have even been a blue moon in there at one stage.
Well, they say good things come once in a blue moon. This must be the good thing, Brent.
Indeed.
Today we're going to talk about trust, but before we get there, I just want you to, if you wouldn't mind, Brent, just maybe tell us a little bit about the history of the Stewart Group. What are you guys all about?
Yeah, so Stewart Group is an independent financial advisory firm. When we say independent, what we mean is that we're not aligned to any of the major banks or institutions, and therefore our aim is to give fiduciary-based advice. That means advice that is centered on the client and the client's need, the customer's need. It's not aligned in any way, shape, or form to a product. It's the solution that best fits what that individual family unit or entity requires in that point in time. So Stewart Group's been around for almost 40 years.
Yes, wow.
Starting with Don Stewart and recently, incorporating Nick and his team and family. And we've now grown to a company of around about 20 to 25 individuals. And we have four advisors on staff, so always growing.
Indeed. And I might just take it just a little bit off tangent here. I watched the news last night, or I might have been a program later than the news, but it was all about people who had been taken to the cleaners big time by investing in ventures that were they were scammed out of their money, to be honest. One person lost $400,000, got $200,000 back. One lady lost $100,000, didn't get anything back. But it seemed to me that they did it all on the internet. And I was just saying to my wife, wow, if I was investing that sort of money, I might go and see someone like you guys face to face. Is that what you'd recommend?
Absolutely. I mean, I saw the same program. I think it was on the Sunday show.
Yes, that's right.
And it was pretty shocking. It was pretty shocking to think that that level of supposed trust could have been built, that individuals would be so enamored that they do this over the internet rather than seeking out a company that had a little bit of bricks and mortar behind it. It was also pointing towards the banks. And I do think that there are things in place, or there are systems in place that banks could have in place that would prevent that sort of scam going through their books. You know, especially if it's a large sum, a sum over $100,000. I mean, we have anti-money laundering laws in place that when transactions are greater than $10,000, they must be reported.
Yes.
So I find it very hard to understand in this country why there aren't systems in place for transactions of 100 or 200,000. It's almost as if they use a caveat emptor, that let the buyer beware.
Yes.
But I think that the bank and financial institutions do have a place. I mean, for example, if somebody was sending that level of money to a terrorist organization, then something would be done.
Mm.
But when that level of money is being sent to a scammer, there's no identifier that's saying, well, where's that money actually going to? And I know that the technology is there for that. When I lived in Singapore, that technology has been in place in Singapore for 10 years.
Indeed.
So I don't understand why the financial institutions haven't done that. And that goes to that area of trust.
Yes, indeed.
And
yes.
Where is that trust built? You know, it was interesting that the Just to answer you, go back and answer your question directly, Ken, yes, absolutely. That's where we would sit down with the individual, understand what their needs are, what's the purpose of the money, what is it they are wanting to achieve, and then set out a plan that is tailored and focused on their specific need, rather than, just chasing after a return.
Yeah. I must say I'm a bit old-fashioned. I like to talk face-to-face with someone who's going to deal with my money.
I'm the same. Absolutely. Precisely.
All right. Well, before we get into the trust mechanism we're going to talk about today, tell us a little bit about KiwiSaver, how you guys handle that.
Yeah, so KiwiSaver is the employer-employee retirement scheme set up by the government around about 20 or so years ago. It is growing. It is growing as being seen as the retirement fund of choice for individuals as they retire. The minimum contributions are 3%, and then the employee can put 3%. And that's an interesting figure because Australia is budgeting on a 12.5% of savings, and as I mentioned before, Singapore is budgeting on 30% of savings. So I think 6% is a little light, and we need to maybe focus more on our longer-term retirement savings goals. KiwiSaver that we implement and we use a Farmer French model, which is the Nobel Prize-winning research by Eugene Farmer and Ken French, which is about optimization of a portfolio using both equities and income, a fixed income, designed for that client's specific risk tolerance or risk profile, and they can move anywhere along the scale. Because of economies of scale, the more individuals you have within those types of funds, then the less the costs become. So the costs of our portfolio in terms of running a portfolio might be 36 basis points, between 36 and 40 basis points, or 0.4%, which is a lot lower than the 1.5% that you might see in the marketplace. And of course, then there's the advisory fee that we charge and negotiate independently with the client on that.
Yes, indeed.
And then outside of that, a very exciting addition to our armory of solutions for client are what we call ACI funds. They're asset class investment funds, similar in structure to the KiwiSaver side of things. However, they're outside of a KiwiSaver structure, meaning that you're not locked in to age 65. Mm. So we've got solutions for clients that are low contribution, so low minimums, they're tax efficient, they're liquid, so you can liquidate them if you need to within a relatively short time frame of 5 to 10 days, and it's all based on evidence, scientific, Farmer French model, evidence-based investing. Best of breed that you can get here in New Zealand, and I would encourage people to undertake their own due diligence, and if they're so inclined, we're more than happy to sit down and have a chat.
Is that scheme that you run, could you get your employers pay into that like they do with KiwiSaver, or is it completely different in that respect?
I don't quite understand what you're asking, Ken.
So when we put our money into KiwiSaver, our employer puts in 3%. Would our employer put 3% into ACI?
Well, there'd be no reason they couldn't. You could salary sacrifice your own wages, and you could come to an arrangement with your employer that they might be willing to contribute something in addition to the KiwiSaver separately. That would be a negotiation you could have with your employer, I would think. Yeah. I see no legal reason that couldn't take place.
Tell us about your solar network, Brent.
Yeah, so another really exciting thing that Stewart Group has focused on is making sure that we're true to label and that we're sustainable and that we are not just talking the talk, but we're actually walking the talk. So Nick and the team have set up the Tarehi Solar Network, which is a way of sharing solar energy and surplus solar energy that we're generating in the Stewart Group ourselves through our solar installations throughout the community. And to members of the Tarehi Solar Network. So some of them generate solar power themselves, and others don't generate solar power but can still take advantage of the savings. I myself was on the network when and was able to save around about 25% of my bill going from around about $1,200 a year to $900 a year in terms of my electricity costs. So, yeah, we're very happy with how that's running and how it's been set up. There's no revenue incentive for us. It's all community-based, sustainable, helping people, not just in the Hawke's Bay. Obviously, I'm in Wellington, so extends throughout the nation. So if people are also interested, they're more than welcome to give us a call and ask us about our energy plan and how that operates.
Good on you. Now we're going to talk about trust and credibility. Where do we start with trust and credibility when we're looking for a financial advisor?
Well, there's a great book called The Trusted Advisor by David Maister, and it talks about the trust equation, which equals credibility, which is the words we speak and what we say, plus reliability. So does the person follow through on those words? Plus what they call intimacy, but by intimacy, really what they're meaning is the ability to maintain that confidential information and make sure that confidential information is never violated. And all of that is then divided by self-orientation, which is to say, rather than being orientated on oneself, be orientated on the client and the client's needs. So that's really where the equation comes down to. I think that in meeting with clients, we've seen it recently, I think, Ken, with the Commerce Commission. We've had the Commerce Commission come out and say that after 4 months, they've decided and concluded that competition is limited, and that's led to a lack of trust in some of the banks. The thing that is interesting for me there is that the Grocery Commissioner comes out when there's half the number of grocery stores that there are banks, there's only two, and the Grocery Commissioner himself, who was the head of Sanitarium, or former head of Sanitarium, said there's nothing to see here. Yeah. Move along.
Yeah.
And that, to me, shows a little bit of a lack of credibility as far as I can see there. Yeah. So in terms of bringing it back to an advisory relationship, I think that's the first step. The first step is building that credibility and making sure that the things that we say are the things that we act upon and that we can be reliable in following through with our words, Ken.
Yeah. I wonder, I read a bit of an article in preparation for our chat this morning, because you know, a hillbilly like me comes along and talks to someone like you. You could tell me anything, Brent, and I believe it. And I would probably say, oh, well, you know, Brent said do this, so I did it. But the other good thing about what you guys do is you openly talk about the risks involved with investing, don't you? Don't just give us all the good news.
No, precisely. It's never just a one-way street, and we do see moments of great uncomfortableness, like we saw during COVID and 2 years ago. The 2022 year was a terrible year from an investment return basis. But the main thing to focus on there is to understand what markets do. That a market is, you're buying and selling. And you're buying and selling just as you would buy and sell tomatoes. Now, sometimes the price of tomatoes goes to $15, $16 a kilo, and sometimes it goes to $2 or $3 a kilo. And that's just how the market is set, depending upon the season and the time.
Yes.
The equities market and the financial markets are pretty similar in that they bring buyers and sellers together, and depending upon demand and depending upon other underlying fundamentals, the price is set. So when going through a difficult period as we did 2 years ago, we need to ask ourselves, is the underlying company fundamentally sound? Is what I'm investing in fundamentally sound? And if it is, then it's simply either an equation of market sentiment or what's happening external to that entity, to that company, which is a driving factor in price. That could be the war in the Ukraine. It could be a global pandemic. It could be uncertainty about the US political situation. It could be uncertainty about the New Zealand political situation. So once all those factors come into play, you can make a rational decision. And rather than trying to jump in and out of the marketplace, it is far better to be positioned inside the marketplace with good quality stocks, with good quality underlying assets, so that you know that there is light at the end of that tunnel.
given today's uncertain times right across the world, are you giving the same information or advice that you were giving 10 years ago? Because advice, good financial advice, doesn't really ever change, does it?
Well, it's fundamentally, at the core, that's correct. Solid advice remains solid advice, and it's no different than the advice that you might seek from a doctor. A doctor will say, don't smoke, limit your intake of alcohol, eat fresh food and vegetable, and do 20 to 40 minutes exercise a day. That advice remains completely at core. You can medicate yourself if you've got blood pressure, but these things are designed only only as a short-term stopgap until you address what the underlying problem or issue is. I think the same analogy can be drawn with financial advice. You've got to understand what your purpose is, what your goals are. It might be for retirement. Mm-hmm. It might be a deposit for a house. It might be as an investment property. You've got to understand what the time frame you have is. So am I looking at a 10-year time frame? Am I looking at my retirement could be 30 years, 20 years?
Yeah.
My money has to last me that long. And then putting some scientific, some really evidence-based scientific numbers around that so that with confidence you've got a plan in place to be able to say this is what's driving me, this is what I'm intending to achieve, and I can reliably achieve those goals, you know, within X number of standard deviations.
And I guess another good thing about the Stewart Group is, and you mentioned it at the very beginning of this program, is that you've been around for nearly 40 years. You are in bricks and mortar. We can come and knock on your door. And you haven't just got one advisor. You've got a whole team of advisors.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all charged with the same same ethical view in mind, to focus on what the client's needs are, to work with and to collaborate with our clients to produce a living financial plan document that we review regularly. It might be yearly or it might be as circumstances change, and to build relationships with clients that are for the longer term. They're not transactional basis. They're not based in short term. They're based on where are you today, how can we help you and assist you to be where you want to be tomorrow, and how can we work through the longer term over your retirement. And to do so in a transparent manner, to be absolutely transparent in all dealings that we undertake.
And on that pearl of wisdom, I'll let you back get back to work, Brent. But before I do that, just remind our listeners, we want to get hold of the Stewart Group. How do we get in touch?
Certainly, the website I would encourage people to, stewartgroup.co.nz, our website. Of course, we're based in the Hawke's Bay, but we do have offices here in Wellington as well, and we'd be more than happy. I undertake now quite a few meetings. We all undertake quite a few meetings over Teams and also over Zoom is another one that we use quite a lot. Stewart Group phone number is 06 for Hawke's Bay, 878-8961, and that'll get through to the lovely Jermaine, who will pass information through to the relevant advisor.
Good on you, Brent. My pleasure, as always. You look after yourself, and talk to you same time, same place next time.